Welcome to episode 6 of SourceCast. I'm Anayu Kailestis.
And I'm Swords of the Wolves.
And I'm Skopaka Shertigal.
I'm UK Banket.
And I'm Connay.
And we have, of course, as you can tell, have guest stars. So give these guys a warm round of applause.
Yay!
Yay! Whoopee!
Yay!
And also, if you guys haven't noticed, Rusty is not present with us. He will be joining us a little later in the episode, along with Ahura Werewolf, who is also guest starring.
Yep. Ahura died.
Yes.
we're working on a resurrection spell, so don't want some resurrection action, so yeah. Yay.
I think Ahura went to buy his Halloween costume or something.
Alright, well, speaking of Halloween, it is getting very close to Halloween, very close indeed. I believe it is this weekend.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
So the point it is. But Halloween isn't really a big thing over here, not like it is in the States.
So, like, people don't usually get dressed up and go to door-to-door candy.
Yeah.
So, moving on into site and forum news.
The most recent edition, as of today, which is October 24th, 2010, is the edition of you are now able to write reviews of the various films for which we have sources. Like Balto, Balto 2, Balto 1, 2, 3, Lady and the Tramp, 1 and 2, Dogs Go to Heaven, all that kind of stuff. You are able to write reviews, and you can actually go to these pages and see what other people have said about these movies.
Yeah, it's reviews, but at the moment, Steve hasn't actually set any permissions. I think only the admins and the global moderators at the moment for the sites can approve of the reviews. I think Steam, he might be merging the permissions with the articles mod, quite possibly the site builder info.
I've opened up the write a new review thing. It almost looks like all the other sections where you have that little rules page come up before the send, and then you get to, write your review. But it looks like it's going to have to be approved, like all the characters and fanfics and everything.
They are all approved. So my review of Toy Story on Toy Story Source, to check the everything out, and it has to be approved by a moderator, and obviously because I'm not a global moderator or an admin on that site, I can't, but Steve Dutt is hoping to merge it with either Articles Mod or Site Builder. I'm not sure what he's doing.
Well, that will be interesting.
Oh, and just to let everybody know, Rusty will not be joining us for the rest of this episode, so he will be temporarily replaced by Kane and Ahura Werewolf.
Yay! Right.
Yes.
So, that's why you can't hear Rusty's voice right now, so that explains that. And please write a bunch of reviews. Please give me something to work with on the Princess and the Frog source. I'm desperate for something to do. You have no idea how desperate I am. Give me a review to post, please.
Princess and the Frog source, and especially Lady and the Tramp source. They've gone through redesigns, so Prince Frog has got a brand new banner, so Spirit Source, and Mighty Balto has just completely redone, Lady and the Tramp source.
Yes, and that looks magnificent,
I always think Mighty Balto always does better on her second attempt.
Mighty Balto's designs have been really good lately. I mean, look at Robin Hood.
Yeah.
I think Mighty Balto did the original Robin Hood, which I personally didn't like. But she had another go, and I think it's like 10 times better. She does better on her second go.
Okay. I'm just enjoying that it's now purple, because purple is my favorite color. I think everything should be purple, but that's just me, so...
Princess in the Fog.
And all the guys in the room going, oh no.
You're going to like Aristocats sauce, because Aristocats is all purple and
stuff. Good.
And honestly, it's an amazing design. Probably has to be, for my guessing, the best design at the moment.
Well,
I think.
Encouraging.
Do you want me to link you quickly?
Sure.
You lost Ahura.
Bye bye, Ahura. Gone off to steal some souls.
Oh.
Yeah, so you can preview the site at animationsource.org/aristocats/en, and then you've got to add that extra /, because the
That looks good. That looks real good.
Ooh, wow. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Good.
Yes.
That's pretty good.
That looks real good. Great job, Connie.
Aristocats was done by Grey Wolf. I'm not actually part of the Aristocats Source project. It's just that I can view all the projects from the Toy Story mod panel. They're all progressing slowly with the designs, I think. Secret and Nim, which is really progress. That's
so, Lucario, that he's trying to get moderators for the Fox and the Hound store, so he sent me a PM maybe a few weeks back about maybe asking me to be a mod, and I think he sent it to some other prospective candidates.
I didn't get one, so.
Fox and the Hound source, the banner's done, but nothing else is done. The banner does look much better compared to what it did before. It did look a bit greasy before, but now it looks much better. But the everything else with Fox and the Hound is non-existent. Of LinkedIn, which is animationsource.org/fox_hound/en. You can preview that there.
Oh, that looks good.
I'm opening it up right now.
Hold on, I'm opening it. That looks really awesome.
That looks good. I like it.
I do like the
banner. Yeah, that looks good.
Excluding Ahura, can all three of you access the Baltosaurus mod panel?
I can't.
Mm-mm. No. Swords and I aren't mods anymore, so.
I can access the Animation Source mod panel and Princess and the Frog and Toy Story, but nothing else.
Yeah.
So, yeah, everybody, there's a bunch of great sources to look forward to. I'm counting probably 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 sources for you to look 11. Forward to.
11
sources. So, there's a whole lot of stuff to look forward to. Keep checking Animation Source.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know anything. The Aristocat source is the closest one to being complete because it's under deactivated sites, which means they've had to launch and start working on the French equivalent, which normally means they've done with the English one.
Alright.
Sounds good.
Kane, did you want to go ahead and talk about the suggestion news?
Yeah, on the suggestion board, we have quite a few, well, I think 3 or 4 new suggestions coming in. One posted by Emily123 is about presentations for game book galleries.
Yes.
Apparently, I don't know this because I don't really post many game books, but there's not actually an option for you to create your own presentation like you can for fan arts or fanfics for your game book galleries.
Ah, that's kind of weird.
And obviously Emily's brought that up, and she says that obviously, and I quite agree with her, that you know, it would be useful if they could add presentations to their work, like you can obviously on fanfiction and fan art.
Yeah.
Akira, I don't know how you pronounce this, I'm useless, has suggested having a new version, a version of the site in another language. Obviously, because at the moment we only have it in English and French. Some of the suggestions that have come through have been from Spanish and Russian.
Hmm.
And I just want to shed some light, because it seems like everyone's ignoring me on that topic, that Steve has said he does want to launch Animation Source in another language. Spanish, because obviously it's the second most popular language in the world, behind Mandarin, which is Chinese, and ahead of English. And Russia, because as far as Steve knows, there is actually quite a big Balto animation fan base. The actual translation part, you know, like we do between French and English, is fine, because there are always going to be volunteers that are willing to translate. The only problem which Steve has is that there are issues with the database and with the code, and, you know, just generally things like that. He said that he, as well as, like, trying to launch it, he's finding it hard because the MySQL database or something like that isn't actually accepting the Spanish or the Russian language because it can only take certain code, like Unicode or UTF-8, and obviously it's not working with Spanish or with Russian, so they've hit a problem with that.
Mm.
Steve has his topic, the too many rules suggestion. I've never really understood that topic much.
I said, I know I ended up posting something in there because they had been talking about the characters, and that's mostly what it's about, the character section. And I actually ended up posting a link to my rant because I ended up having to make a rant about it just because a lot of the rules aren't clearly defined. It's not so much that we have too many, it's that nobody understands them.
I find that slightly with animation source. There are one too many rules, and sometimes they can get very complicating.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously I don't use the character sections much, so it doesn't bother me that much. Which is why I don't really think I've ever understood it, because it comes up with too many rules and ideas, and it just lists all these things, and I'm like, huh? I just don't understand them at all. Which is why I'm not going to focus on that much.
Okay.
Animation Source Project. I was the last one to post on this. Some people, I think, Celtic Taboo, Alu, whatever you want to call him, suggested Watership Down Source, which is obviously really up. Emperor's New Groove School, which is a Disney animated film.
Yeah, I love that movie.
Isn't it based off of Emperor's New School or something?
The Emperor's New School was based off the movie.
Ariel posted The Little Mermaid.
Let's go ahead and move on to our animation news. And according to Skull, there is a Who Framed Roger Rabbit sequel in the works.
That's true. For those of you who don't know, Who Framed Roger Rabbit is a film that came out in 1988. It combined live action with animation.
I think it was one of the first films to do that, wasn't it?
I think it was one of the first commercially successful films. There were several shorter films made by Walt Disney before he even made his Mickey Mouse cartoons. He made Alice cartoons, which combined animation and live action, but it was the first commercially successful film that did that.
I see. Okay.
Yeah, I think it's the only film in which you'll ever see Mickey Mouse and Bugs Bunny in the same image.
It's the only time in history that's ever happened, and probably will never happen again. And that only happened because both Warner Brothers and Disney promised that they would get the same number of frames of film. There are 24 frames in a second of film, and they promised they'd give both of them the same number of frames and the same amount of lines to the letter. That's kind of weird how that happened. But anyway, it is often cited as what reboosted the public's opinions of animated films as not little kidsy films, like even the public today sees them, but as films that the whole family can enjoy.
Yeah. So
it led to the success of The Little Mermaid and hence the Disney Renaissance. But a sequel has been in the talks ever since. They made three short films based off of characters, but they were all animated, didn't have any live action, and they were not as successful. So, anyway, it's been in the talks for some time. In 1998, Disney created test footage for a sequel, but the results were not pleasing enough to Disney. A second test had the toon characters in the film completely converted to CG, but it was a good idea, but they figured it would just cost too much, so Michael Eisner, the CEO of Disney at the time, decided to drop it. In December 2007, Frank Marshall, the producer of the first film, said he was still open to the idea of a sequel. And in April 2009, Robert Zemeckis, who directed the first film, said he was still interested as well. And in 2010, Don Hahn, the first film's associate producer, he confirmed the sequel's development. He said, quote, "Yeah, I couldn't possibly comment. I deny completely, but yeah, if you're a fan, pretty soon you're going to be very, very, very happy." Unquote.
Oh.
And last month, Bob Hoskins, who played Eddie Valiant in the original, he is also the voice of Boris in Balto, he said that he had signed up to reprise his role in the sequel. He said the cartoon characters will be 2D like in the first film, and the live action will be motion capture performance, like was seen in, for example, A Christmas Carol, which came out last year. He said he's not really too happy about the fact that it's motion capture, but he did see some test footage, and he said it looked like it was going to be a really fun film, and he's really looking forward to doing it. There it is. Who Framed Roger Rabbit sequel, under the tentative name Who Discovered Roger Rabbit?
Nice. Let's move right along into our current events section, and we have two reviews for you. They're going to be kind of shorter since they're older films, and we hope you guys have seen those. The Nightmare Before Christmas and The Corpse Bride, since we're going to continue on a little bit with our Halloween theme.
So, me and Anai, you have seen The Nightmare Before Christmas a while ago.
Yes.
We won't give away any of the plot lines just to save time for this podcast, but let's just give our personal reviews, I guess, ladies first, Anai.
Well, I thought it was really cute. I mean, admittedly, it's kind of creepy at the same time. What can you really expect from a movie like The Nightmare Before Christmas? But I have to say it was adorable. It's very adorable. I don't know. Who wouldn't like the idea of a skeleton kind of, you know, wanting to learn more about Christmas and see all he has is Halloween to look forward to? What do you think, Skull?
Incredibly creepy, not at all classical, but still entertaining for some odd reason. I mean, this was directed by Tim Burton, and his films have always been like that. Creepy, but entertaining.
Again, what can you expect from Tim Burton? What else can you expect?
Yeah. Well, let me just say, it's not for those who get queasy in the stomach. There are some parts that'll make you like, let's just put it this way, you'll want to see it again, but you won't know why.
I know why.
I got that with Toy Story 3. I went to see it, and I just had to see it again. I couldn't explain why, but I just really liked it, and I wanted to see it a third time, but I didn't let me.
Yeah, my personal rating, I gave it probably 3 out of 4 stars, 2.5, 3, probably more like 3. It has its quirks, but the animation is superb. The story is definite. There are no plot holes. The story itself, it's a terrific story. I could do without some of the more grotesque moments of the film, but overall, I'd say it's a pretty good film. And now, our next film that we will be reviewing is a little more recent than Nightmare Before Christmas, but still not. It's out on DVD by now.
Yeah.
has been for a few years, and Swords has his review of The Corpse Bride.
Another Tim Burton film.
Yes, it is. I gotta say, I enjoyed it. It was kind of depressing, to be honest.
It really was.
And again, I was kind of expecting that. You know, I mean, I saw it. It was, I think it came out at Thanksgiving of 2006, I think.
That sounds right.
I mean, I watched it with my family, and because we just, you know, we wanted to see a movie for Thanksgiving, and it was a good movie. It was, you know, it's very Tim Burton-esque. You know, it's pretty dark scenery. The animation reminded me a bit of Nightmare Before Christmas. But then again, I've only seen, like, clips and trailers from it. But the Corpse Bride, it was, I enjoyed it a lot. It was kind of interesting, although it don't think too hard about it, though, because you'll find yourself getting a little grossed out. But still, it's pretty interesting. It's good. I'd say it's, you know, definitely worth watching.
I thought it was charming, personally.
I haven't seen it in a while. I haven't heard very well. But I do remember enjoying it.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely charming in a very macabre way. but...
I'd say if you want to watch a movie this Halloween, watch that. So,
yes.
Watch that, right? Because it's definitely a kind of movie you'll want to watch. It fits Halloween.
Extra talk will be Halloween, 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 and then the review of Dragon Tamers. What are you talking about? An All Dogs Go to Heaven source.
Yes, I like that fic.
That was funny.
That was pretty funny.
Okay, so it sounds like all of us actually read that.
Yes.
Wow. Awesome. Okay, so
unlike the last fanfic we reviewed, which is like over a series of 10 stories or something. It would have taken me about a few weeks to read. This one, this one's short and sweet. It's short. It's kind of like a really well done Saturday Night Live skit.
I would. I'd definitely describe it as a one shot, just because of the way it's written and everything, and how it kind of leaves you a little hanging.
Though yeah. DT did say he's writing a sequel, but first of all, let's move on to the extra talk.
Alrighty.
First of all. Halloween!
This is the part where you guys get scared and turn off your computers.
Run away screaming!
Possessed because I will make it start typing and you're not on the keyboard.
Alright, so
it'll be like Metal Gear Solid when Psycho Mantis starts moving around your controller and he starts reading your memory card and telling you about the games you play.
So, it is Halloween, listeners, and I have absolutely no idea what I have to say next, because I have no notes in front of me.
I don't know, all you have is Halloween, Halloween, wah-ha-ha-ha-ha on the notes. I don't know what I'm supposed to be talking about, I'm just kind of spewing gibberish here.
First of all, we hope your Halloween is going very, very well. However, if you happen to go trick-or-treating and find your fellow sourcecasters out just as costumes of sourcecasters, I guess. Let me just say, you better beware. We will bring you onto the show and interview you.
So I have a question. How would we dress as ourselves? How would one dress up as a sourcecaster?
How else could you fool somebody else?
No, you dress it up as Skull and Skull and, so on.
Oh, trust me, you did not want to see a knight dressed up as me.
I don't think I want to see a Skull dressed up as me, because I don't think he'd make a pretty girl. But then again, the people on Animation Source,
I don't know. Everybody seems to think I'm a girl,
They think you're a girl, so maybe that would work.
Here we go. I will dress up as my favorite animated...
Disney princess.
I don't know. Oh, sheesh. No. I'm going to dress up as a Pokemon trainer.
No, you're going to dress up as a Disney princess, fool.
Dang it. Okay. I know you. Who told you?
Told me? He told me, a little birdie told me.
Yeah, I'm not doing Halloween this year. I'm going to be very boring, and I might get a CD playing and just, scary music and scare people away.
Speaking of which, Edmund, we need a bunch of Halloween music for our next Halloween special. You may send it to us at sourcecast@gmail.com. That's sourcecast@gmail.com. That is... Okay, so I won't repeat this again. So, plus, we need for you to tell us. I don't know, but you need to tell us something, please.
Yes.
Anything, please.
Going beyond the world of Halloween and moving on to Blackhawk's Night, which I don't know if you do it in America. Fireworks Night, November the 5th.
No,
we don't
know. Anyway, mainly, just a bit of background history. It's when a bloke called Blackwood walked into the House of Parliament and tried to blow it up.
Ah, Guy Fawkes Night. Yes, I remember reading about that.
Yeah. I just, obviously, because everyone's, you know, into animals, basically, or an animation source, a lot of people have cats and dogs. Just want to say, spare a thought to wildlife and to, obviously, your pet when it comes to Guy Fawkes Night, because, you know, the loud bangs, it does really disorientate them. And, I mean, my family used to do big displays, which used to cost about £1,000 a time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, just spare a thought, you know, because the loud bangs, it does always disorientate them, and, obviously, if you're in an area where there is loads of wildlife, you know, I would suggest keeping the fireworks to a minimum.
Yes.
And not, obviously, doing huge displays right next, especially right near forests and things like that, because animals do not like it at all.
And actually, as an add-on to that, if you actually know for a fact that your animals are very afraid of fireworks and they don't like the loud sounds, You can actually go to your veterinarian and request that, see if they'll give you a sedative. Because sometimes they can, sometimes they can't give it out as a prescription.
Yeah, you can add things to their food which kind of numbs their afraidness, or I don't know how medicine works, but it works something like that. And there was something else which came to it. Yeah, also, I mean, I don't think anyone on Animation Source would actually do this, but I would say use fireworks responsibly and don't go around playing with fire or, obviously, fireworks, because, you know, fire is an element. Fire is an element and it must be respected.
Yes.
All right. Sir, everyone, happy Halloween! And if you wanted to know where Rusty is, we made him the definition of trick or treat. I'm done.
That's also where Ahura went. Ahura went and stole Rusty's soul and...
and sold it on eBay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sold it on eBay. Yeah. Boy.
Alrighty.
You know? Okay, next Halloween we will definitely have more material for you guys. Promise.
So. Well, there is still my idea. Cough, cough.
Perhaps next year, Steve, we could do a special design, you know, or someone can do a special design for Animation Source.
That'd be nice.
You know, like, I think what we should do, I think we should probably do, like, themes to the Animation Source sites. Like, Balto Source, I noticed while browsing the back pages, there's actually an Iditarod theme, which has never been completed. You know, so during the periods of the Iditarod, you know, you could change the theme to make it more Edwardish. You know, Christmas, make it a bit more Christmassy, apart from the bits of snow. Halloween, obviously, and Guy Fawkes Night, fireworks, and new spooky stuff. And I think that's an idea. Obviously, apart from the Christmas one and the Iditarod, I don't think not the Iditarod, because that's next year. Obviously, okay. we can't do the Halloween one now, but I think definitely for next year that is a suggestion that I hope someone will take up.
Also in our extra talk, we have a review of Dragon Tamer's What Are You Talking About? From Ogog's Go to Heaven Source. And all four of us have read it so far, and we're going to give our personal review, starting with the Naikai Lestus.
Yes, I actually really enjoyed this fanfiction. It's a shorter fanfiction, so if you guys are thinking, oh, I don't have time to read it, yeah, you do. You really do.
It takes like 10 minutes.
Yeah, it'll...
One page.
It's one page, it'll take you 10 minutes, and you will be laughing. I promise. Essentially, what happens is, without giving a whole lot too much away, Sasha starts talking to Charlie about what she considers a pretty serious matter and everything, and she really wants his input on it. And Charlie doesn't get it at all. he thinks she's talking about something completely different, so when, you know, he's kind of giving half responses, thinking about something else entirely, and she finally
says something that really, you know, kind of alerts him to the fact that they're talking about two different subjects, he kind of looks at her and goes, well, what are you talking about? And she kind of, you know, gets a really insulted look on her face, and I kind of almost always imagine her, if she a human, putting her hands on her hips and going, have you been listening to me at all? I pretty much imagine her doing what I do to my boyfriend. Have you been listening at all? It's an absolutely delightful fanfic.
Yeah, I found it quite fine. It's like, to me, it's like a really well-executed Saturday Night Live skit. It was great. It was funny. It was short. It was sweet, but it was funny. And, you know, it was funny. I liked it. It was great. And made me laugh, definitely. There are too many movies that revolve around a similar premise where the main character thinks something, but, like, something else is actually true. Like, a guy thinks he's on a spy TV show, but he's really actually being mistaken for a spy. Like, there was one movie I saw, and I couldn't stand that movie. But this fanfic did that kind of scenario really well. And the fact that it's short, it means it doesn't drag on too long. And so, yeah, it's great. I will enjoy it.
Yeah, as Dragon Tamer says, it's movie canon, series flavor. So, takes place right after All Dogs Go to Heaven, too. And I'm not a big fan of the series, but I'm a huge fan of both films. So it's really great. It's really great for me.
I found out that all the episodes of the All Dogs Go to Heaven series, I believe, are on Hulu.com. So if you want to check those out. Anyway.
Hulu doesn't actually work for people in Europe. I think it only works for people in the US because... it's just an American site, but you can, I think, view all of the series on YouTube.
Yeah, you can. YouTube and Hulu, and my personal rating, it's above and beyond 4 stars. So, it's really hilarious, and that's what I like about Dragon Tamer. He makes his fanfics so original, and I was not expecting a comedy from him in a million years, but here it was. But anyway, to wrap it all up for my review... is hilarious. He's planning on writing a sequel to it. Talked with him about it. He said that it's actually pretty close to being done, so look forward to that. And if you haven't read it, then you're missing out. You gotta go and read it. Just go and read it. I don't care what you have to do, go and read it. And, Tane, what do you think about it?
I first read it when it was on Balto Source back in 2008.
Yeah, that was actually when I first read it, too.
Yes. And what I found when I first read it, I think from about 10th line, I don't think I could stop laughing. And it really did, honestly, it put a real smile on my face, that fanfic. It's real American-type humour. It really is. But what he's done, he's managed to broaden it out so everyone can see it. He's managed to broaden the humour out, so it doesn't just appeal to the American viewer. It applies to all.
Okay.
And you know, I really liked it. I thought it was absolutely hilarious. Out of 10, I'd have to probably give it a 9.5.
That's
good. I really enjoyed it. I mean, he said he's going to do a sequel, but he said that back in 2008, and you know. If you're waiting 2 years for a sequel, you know, for such something that's only a page long, I have quite high expectations for the sequel. it is brilliant, I find. As someone posted on, I think, last month, dude, you've got to hurry and write this part two or I will lose it. A bit of a rush, but I mean, it's been 2 years. He has been working on other things, but you know, it's a page long. Unless he wants to structure it, you know, a sentence at a time, you know, to get maximize funniness. But I think, you know, hopefully it will be coming within the year or within the early parts of next year, because after that, you know, you kind of forget about it and
yeah,
that'll be the end of that. But welcome back, Uhura.
Yeah.
He's in the process of reading the fanfic, so...
Okay.
Yeah, I already read it. It's really quite good. You know, but knowing DC, he probably put it on the back burner for a reason, and I'm assuming that he probably has something pretty well planned for part two.
Yeah.
He doesn't go into anything half-cocked.
Okay, so UK stuff. UK, you were going to talk about the scavenger hunt. What else? I can't remember.
I think I was going to go on about Alpha and Omega.
Okay, that's right.
It's been a pretty big thing on Voltasaurus at the moment.
Alright. Well, if you want to talk, whichever one you want to start talking about first,
go ahead.
Go on.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Just throw me in. I'd imagine the scavenger hunt is more interesting.
Alright, let's talk about that first.
Yeah, it's probably more relevant to the podcast. Yeah.
Especially since we've been talking about it for the past two episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I am incredibly sorry to everybody that it's taking so long. I've not really told people how it works, I don't think. I'm not very good at explaining. I'll probably turn it into a thing before Christmas, to be honest. It was supposed to be a summertime thing, but that kind of didn't happen.
Fail.
So it will be here before December. Or during.
Good to know.
Good, you know, holiday spirit thing.
Yeah.
Yay.
So what is the scavenger hunt anyway?
Well, the idea behind it is, I'll be writing up way more sort of quests that I have. And in the groups people make, maximum of 5 people per team, you complete the tasks, and for each one you get a set number of points. And at the end of the hunt, the team with the most points wins.
Very interesting. I know you said in the topic that one of the example questions might be like to draw Balto.
Yeah.
They're not all art-related,
no, obviously. I'm trying to vary them so that people who, say, don't draw or render can do that, and people who don't write can do something else, so there's something for everyone.
Okay.
And it's not based on quality, so no one has to worry about making it look like a screenshot from one of the movies.
Yeah, that's good to know.
As long as it is what it says you have to do, then that's fine. It doesn't matter how scrappy it is.
Oh, hey, you know, that's good, you know, everyone has an equal chance.
Yeah.
And what would you say as far as team building that people should do? Should it just be like you and all your friends get together, or should maybe people try to build teams strategically that was not going to come out?
I know people probably want to immediately team up with all their friends, but it's probably a good idea to find all sorts of people to join your team. That way you can have people who are good at virtually everything you'll need to do, so you can get more points, and you'll get to meet new people and have fun with them.
Alright, that's good advice.
Okay. Sounds like a whole lot of fun.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Source, animation source, team building exercise. Except
yeah.
Not easy.
Yeah, next year I'll take everyone to the wilds of Alaska and send you all on a camping trip.
Yes! We'll all gather around the campfire singing Kumbaya.
That'd be fun.
If only.
We'll send everybody on a field trip to know where we can take the historic Balto tour, if that even exists.
We'll make up our own.
Oh no, we could wait till March and just get the end of the Ardisrod.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh, there's an idea.
Yep. Be pretty awesome.
Oh, we'll make an animation source team. We'll join in the Iditarod.
we'll get awesome.
We have to find some dogs.
Yeah.
I can't donate any dogs to that cause. I've got Shelties. They'd be like, what the heck are we doing here?
Oh. No, we'll be the only team with people.
Or we just make it like the world's like a double marathon or whatever. We just run.
You guys might have to count me out for that. I don't do a whole lot of running. Alrighty. Anybody got any other questions about the scavenger hunt that they want to ask?
Well, I guess the most obvious one is there anything else you want to tell us about the scavenger hunt?
Not really. I'll just get back to the topic so I can remind myself. Because I fail.
Alright.
I know we mentioned what the Sourcecast is offering as a prize last episode.
I know first place was the winning team would be guest stars on the episode of Sourcecast. And third place would be a mention of the team along with its members on Sourcecast. And second place, I think it was an interview with one of the team members on Sourcecast or something like that.
Yeah, like the team leader or something.
Okay.
Quite happily, people have managed to have loads and loads of prizes for it, so.
There we go.
Yeah, I know you had to actually.
Hey, more incentive to do it, no?
Yeah. Stuff. It's the only time I've actually ended up saying that, no, there are enough prizes.
Say, stop, I have too many prizes. The winner of this thing will get this scavenger hunt, will get showered with gifts, I just know. But they'll be like, I'm living it, baby! Whoa!
Actually, I do have one more question. Is there anything else that you'll need help with as far as the scavenger hunt goes? Is there anything else that you'll need help with?
Things like prizes and things, there's more than enough help there now. And I have, I think, two other judges. So, I suppose one more judge couldn't hurt. But if someone's judging the hunt, then they aren't allowed to join the team. And the only other thing is, if there's anyone who's particularly good at creating challenges for things, because at the moment it's only me creating those, and I've gotten stuck like mad.
All right, well, that's your cue, Animation Source listeners. If you're really creative and you want to help out UK, start thinking up some challenge ideas and send them her way.
I'd very much appreciate it.
All right.
And on to Alpha and Omega.
Yeah.
Yes, please tell us your thoughts about it.
Well, I'm afraid I was a bit judgmental like a lot of other people. And as soon as it came up, my first thought was, oh, that looked horrible.
You know what, I'm not going to lie, I kind of thought the same thing myself. I said, you know what, I really would like to like that movie, but it's going to be crap.
I know, that's what I thought.
I think, I'm pretty sure I remember thinking something along those lines when I first saw previews for it, too. I still haven't seen the movie, so I can't make any judgments, but...
Yeah, neither have I.
I'm still a slacker.
I decided to just go for it and watch it, see what I thought. And it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be honest. If you're a person who, like me, a lot of the times really likes things looking good, then you might not like it. I mean, the backgrounds on it are fantastic. They are just gorgeous, but... the characters. I'm afraid they haven't quite got the hang of making the wolves not look like rubber. That hasn't changed.
I guess Pixar, they are not.
No, it's especially the jaws. They have very rubber jaws.
Yeah.
I've never seen any animal open its mouth that way.
I haven't taken a close look at them.
Generally, though, it's a pretty good movie. It doesn't suck as much as I thought it was going to.
Mm. Like, what about, like, as in terms of the story and stuff?
The what?
Story?
Story? Well, it is incredibly cliched, like everyone knew it was going to be. It's kind of like Bolt with wolves instead of a dog and a cat.
Oh, okay.
You know, that's probably a good way to put it, I guess.
Yeah. So, every now and then it has little flashes of brilliance in it.
Oh, well, that's
But you'll be watching it and you think, oh, I don't know. And then it'll have a note you see and think, oh, that's actually really cool. Especially the parts with Peyton Humphrey. I still hate his name, by the way. But, yeah, the main male character.
Oh, that guy, yeah.
Yeah, the one with the mullet. There's the odd scene with those two and Lily and Garth, sort of secondary characters, where they're sort of cute scenes, and those are quite good.
Okay.
Almost as good as the odd scene with Balto and Jenna.
Okay,
that's promising.
Who's Lily and Garth?
They're both background characters. Garth is the one that Kate was supposed to marry from the other wolf pack.
Hmm.
I know, it makes absolutely no sense to me either, but...
Well, I don't know. In a lot of human history, there have been marriages between, you know, kingdoms as a sign of peace and diplomacy. I think that's what they were trying to go for there, but...
Yeah, the only trouble is they went and used wolves with it, and the pack structure of everything is just so messed up.
Yeah, wolves don't do that.
No.
Wolves don't do that, sorry.
There's also... God knows how many alphas in these packs.
Oh, wow.
I tried counting, but I did lose count.
It sounds like they were trying to use the alpha as, like, the popular group.
Yeah, basically it is. If it was a high school movie, then Humphrey would be the sort of joker of the school who doesn't do much, and Kate and the other alphas would be the cool popular people.
So it's basically a high school movie with wolves.
Yeah, and a golfing goose.
That'd be interesting. I'll definitely rent this when it comes out.
Is it worth, like, going to the cinema or buying it?
Well, personally, I wouldn't spend the money on the cinema, because for me it's quite expensive to go to the cinema.
Yeah.
But it's worth getting the DVD.
Yeah, when I went to England in 2007, I bought a movie ticket to see, I forgot entirely what it was, but it cost me £5.50, and that's the equivalent of about $12 here in America back then.
Yeah. It's getting quite expensive.
Yeah, I get...
completely since 2008.
Yeah, and it costs almost $10 to see a film here right now.
Yeah.
Cheap compared to the UK. No pun on UK, but...
There are better movies in the cinema to spend your money on watching. But it's worth getting the DVD of Alpha and Omega.
Okay.
It's
not as terrible as we thought it was going to be.
Alright.
Anything else you want to say about it?
Other than that, not really. I wouldn't want to spoil it much. The only other thing is, if you're not a fan of butt jokes, then I don't want to watch it.
Alright, okay, I believe it is Akane's turn.
Yay! Right, I have four things I want to talk to you. Toy Story Source, and all the other sources that's going on. Balto Online, which I see as a bit of a replacement for Balto's Treasure.
Uh-huh.
Which kind of died.
Yeah.
The Animation Source Awards, the A Factor, and the fact that actually last episode I was the most talked about person. So with Twisted Source, I have told Sar, I don't know how you pronounce her name.
Sardonyx?
Yeah, Sardonyx. I've basically told her and Steve that I want to take more of a backseat role, because I generally don't have the time. But so far we've managed to do some of the characters. Toy Story 1, Toy Story 2 has been complete. And we're doing things like, you know, for the games, and the Toy Story 1 game, Toy Story 2 game, and we also have stuff about the Toy Story attractions in Disneyland and Japan and Florida, all the ones in the world. So we're getting on with that, but I am looking for someone to semi-replace me with details for Toy Story 3 and Star Command, because I just don't have the time.
So you're really going over the edge with all the stuff you're adding.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are. We've kind of jumped ahead, which is why it's going to take longer. Riot has produced, I think, two banners. He's doing a third now, and he's working on the rest of the redesign. The design basically have the background. which isn't perfect. Does everyone know about all the other sources that are in progress?
I think we know about most of them. I believe we mentioned them a couple episodes ago. I don't think I'm
I've kind of got a list in front of me through the Twister mod panel.
Oh, okay. Cool.
If Brother Bear source.
Yep.
Fox and the Hounds. The yep. Secret of Nim. I don't know how you pronounce that.
It's Secret of Nim.
Oliver and Company. Cats Don't Dance, 101 Dalmatians, Watership Down, obviously...
Whoa, back up, Watership Down?
I didn't know about that one.
Well, that's there. Obviously Toy Story, Gummy Bear...
Gummy Bear Source?
Yeah.
I was like, am I audio hallucinating?
I always thought Gummy Bears was a, sweet.
I actually did a little bit of research. I did find out it was a TV show for a short period of time.
It was, and I remember...
It was.
I'm sorry, I started laughing hysterically. I'm going to explain myself right now. I used to talk with Nava a lot over Skype, and randomly he would burst out into the theme song of the Gummy Bear Show.
Nice. We need to get him on here so he could do that.
Yeah, I'll let Bill burst into whatever the gummy bear theme is. I don't know how it goes. I never saw the show.
I thought it was just that annoying animation.
If you give me a minute, I will sing it. You just gotta give me a minute.
Here we go. Everyone quiet.
Gummy bears, bouncing here and there and everywhere. High adventure that's beyond compare. They are the gummy bears.
That's brilliant!
Oh dear.
Oh, my face just got so red.
Wow!
We also have Scooby-Doo Sauce, and obviously the Aristocats. I think that's open up.
That sounds good. I remember liking the Aristocats when I was a kid.
Aristocats Sauce, I think, is actually coming out soon, because I think Grey Wolf is talking with Steve to get final approval, but I'm not sure. On to Balto Online. I made this site earlier this month. From about August I started the project, and it's been with Kaiser and Mighty Balto, and I've put on here Mighty Balto 1825 for some reason. But I don't know when, earlier this year or during 2009, Balto's Treasure kind of went offline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Maya owned that one, and she didn't have time for it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I remember coming on and just noticing that it had all the links taken down, and it had the little close sign on it.
Yeah.
It vanished.
Maya didn't have time for it anymore, and Tim had not got any time left for it, so it just sort of died.
Yeah. Well, anyway...
Hey, rest in peace.
Anyway,
We are gathered here to remember Balto's Treasure, and may it rest in peace. And I'll say a few words. Sorry.
And now we move on. So basically Balto Online is to kind of put a rival site, apart from obviously True Story, but a rival fan site up, like, because that's really all Balto's Treasure was, you know. To Balto Source. It was the kind of alternative. The only other alternatives were obviously the three member sites. So, any questions for that?
I don't think so. I don't think I have any questions personally.
Okay.
Skull, have you gotten to look a little at Balto Online?
Not really. In fact, I didn't even see Balto's Treasure when it was still up. I became a Balto fan way too late for that, apparently. So, what's the link for it?
Balto Online. Oh, which one? Balto's Treasure. Okay. BaltoOnline.isgreat.org.
Yeah, I have visited it before, apparently, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's just my signature and on my profile. And just one of the links on Balto Source.
Well, any questions. Who's in charge of running the site?
Me. Me and Kaiser, but Kaiser's trying to focus on his own separate sites, which is going to be a site and forum. I think Mighty Bolto's class has a moderator on there because she did me the banner with a little logo in the top corner.
Yeah.
Right, so Animation Source Awards this year. I did them last year and I'm willing to do them this year. But because we have so many sites, I was planning on running them slightly different this year. Before, you know, we always used to do them by source. Like, last year we did it, the Balto Source Awards, Lion King Source Awards, and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tailspin and Spirit as well.
Yes.
Yeah, all the sites that were there anyway. This year I'm planning on doing it where we have we just have fan art awards, fanfic awards, fan game book awards and things like that. And then just under that we have for Balto Source, for Lion King Source, Tailspin Source, for, well, probably not Pictures and Fox Source, but all the sites that have got, I think, enough. Of whatever, you know, obviously Balto Source would be included on all of them. But, you know, like, just in the Frog Source, you know.
Yeah.
Real quick, can previous winners be eligible to be nominated?
I had really, real difficulty managing that last year. Because, you know, there's just so many awards, it's hard to keep track. So I don't think we'll apply that rule this year for what it is. Unless obviously someone volunteers to keep a check, everything's on time after us.
It might be an idea to get the admins of the different sources, see if they can help out.
That'd be an idea. Yeah, seeing if they could maybe help keep track of something.
Yeah, but I don't see the point because, you know, it's going to be so complicated trying to kind of translate from the old title way we did it to this new formation, because it's basically like we're starting the awards all over again. It's just a complete revamp, and it will be easier for people like that are running the awards. It will just be much easier. And obviously next year we could apply that rule, because it will just be easy enough to check down the list of who won it last year and who was nominated last year, etc. I think for your first source cast, Rusty spoke about, it might have been the second actually, the A Factor.
Yes, I remember Rusty talking about it. I think it was, I almost want to say it was the second episode, but I'm not positive.
Yeah, it was either the first or second. I think it was when Rusty was doing it on his own.
Oh, that was episode 3.
Oh, well then, it might have been episode 3, but I can't remember. Anyway. two people have posted in that topic, basically saying, is it still up? I've replied no. Well, not for now, anyway. But, I'm wondering if SourceCast could kind of advertise it, like we're doing with Treasure Hunt.
Okay.
Because because Animation Source is obviously growing at quite a fast speed.
Yeah.
Not that fast, but, you know, they are in sites, but not that much in members. If there are enough people interested for the A Factor,
mm-hmm.
then I think, you know, I could get it back up and running. But I need at least 10 people to, like, sign up to it. Otherwise, there's not really much point in doing a whole competition and me wasting my time.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't mind entering, so long as people don't laugh too hard.
Okay, then. Is there anything else you want to say about it? Kane?
Not much, really, but I would also hope for two extra judges to kind of judge it. I'm not sure how I'm going to work it, though, when it comes to doing all this stuff. If we're going to do it on Skype or, you know, they record their voice on a microphone and they just send it in as a sound file or something.
It'd be interesting if you could do it. I don't know how they do it on the X Factor, but I know how they do what they do on American Idol is they first have you send a video of yourself singing the song in order to actually try out, and then the rest of it, as far as the actual competition goes.
I know how, like, with the audition sections, especially, you know, the X Factor, American Idol, because you're having the X Factor next year. I don't really think it. You should have videos sent in because obviously some people obviously won't trust privacy issues and.
Oh no, certainly not video. But I was just thinking maybe you could audition, but they could send in the audio file, and then the rest of it could be on maybe Skype, like they do the actual show as far as performances. That'd be interesting.
Yeah, I think that's probably what we could do. We could have, like, a major combo for everyone that wants to. And just have people that obviously aren't participating on a no sound thing, you know, like microphone off or whatever. Basically just have one person singing or something like that.
Okay.
Alright, thank you for being with us, Kone.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks a lot, Kane. Thanks a lot, UK. We were glad to have you both here.
Yes, thank you for being with us. Now, Uhura is going to tell us a little bit about this petition. Why don't you get started with that, Uhura?
All right. The whole point of this petition is to create a seasonal exhibit in the... to have the seasonal exhibit in the Cleveland Museum of Natural History be the permanent exhibit. Because any other time there's a small video presentation, it's maybe about 4 minutes long, and if you were not very familiar with the story of Balto, you wouldn't be able to extrapolate a lot of details out of this video presentation. The second petition, what it's to do, is when I visited Balto back in August of this year, I found that Balto's mount was in a very remote corner of the Cleveland Museum, and you virtually had to look for him, which was the rather sad thing about it. You know, they had all sorts of really cool stuff there. They had, like, displays on, like, the planets and the solar system and the Earth and whatnot, and fossils. But I just went there to see Balto, because that's, like, you know, the biggest thing there for them.
Yeah.
And I found Balto in a very, very remote corner of the museum. Now, according to the museum staff, he's supposed to be in a low-light environment, but I found this to be, you know, contrary to where he actually is. He's in a very, not in a very good spot to try to place him in a low-light environment. There's a very large window that overlooks a live animal display outside, and the combination of the natural sunlight and also this large glass display case with electric light in it. Combination of these two things are beaming directly right onto Balto.
Oh, no.
Really helping him be preserved for future generations. So, the second point of my petition is asking the museum to have their seasonal exhibit, which usually coincides with the Iditarod. It's a great exhibit from what I've seen. They have artifacts pertaining to the Serum Run, and it really does the story of Balto justice as far as giving a fairly true account of what happened and how he became famous and the significance of why he's a hero. But any other time, you'll just see this small video presentation, as I said before. It really doesn't do him or the story any justice. So the combination of those two things really upset me. So I created my petition in order to hopefully force the museum to do something, to take action, you know, to show that, you know, this is not an appropriate way to honor this hero, by leaving him in a remote corner of the museum, virtually neglected because of these intense sources of light. You know, he shouldn't be, you know, in the place he's in. It's not helping. And also that the exhibit they have, you can't really see much. I mean, when I was there, there were just people walking by Balto and just giving him one look and sort of like, well, what's this dog? You know, what's so significant about this dog? You know, because of this video presentation, it wasn't a terribly interesting display. You know, if you didn't know who Balto was. But, you know, as I knew who he was and other people who visited knew who he was, you know, I was able to, you know that he's a hero, but if you don't know who Balto is, then this little video presentation is not going to cut it. So,
yeah.
My petition is asking the museum to have their seasonal display become their permanent one. Because then it won't take up too much space. It's not like I'm asking the museum to build an entire wing dedicated to Balto or anything. Because of this, they need to have something that is a bit better than what is there now.
Can I just ask, have you spoken to the museum and asked them, like, how many signatures they would want before they take action?
No, I haven't spoken to anybody at the museum as of right now. I'm kind of hoping that once the petition is fully signed, or at least I get enough signatures, I'm going to submit it to them. I'm sure I'm not the first person who's complained about this, and I'm probably not going to be the last.
Yeah, but I have to look at it from if you look at it from the sense of the museum, if there aren't enough people that are really that interested in Balto and in general, it's not like if there was a World War II exhibit there, you know, people are quite interested in things like that. Although, obviously, Balto is, but not that many people are interested. So from the museum's point of view, what's the point in taking up quite a bit of room?
Well, the way I think about it is the purpose of a museum, I think, is to get people interested in things. So,
that's in my view. I don't, I think it's a good idea, but I'm just basically saying that that's probably the view that Cleveland take. You know, what's the point? Which is a bit of a lazy point of view. Oh my god, bit of a lazy thing.
Well, the thing that is the problem is that the museum, this is essentially their, you know, the one exhibit they have that everybody knows worldwide. And also the fact that they're making quite a lot of commercial revenue off of Balto. They have books, plushes, posters, and all sorts of things like that. You figure with the money they're making off of him that they would do something a bit better, but as of right now, it's not great that they're doing anything.
Yeah, I see now. So if they're making money selling all the Balto merchandise, you know, why would they not have the one thing that is getting people to buy all this stuff, you know, in a more prominent location?
Yeah, because I've seen that they've moved his mount. I believe he used to be in the front lobby as soon as you came in. But they moved him now to, as I said before, a very, very remote location. I mean, you sort of have to go to the entire museum.
Isn't it where all the other animals, in the natural history or something?
Because where he is, as I said, is in remote. The other animals are in a far corner of the museum, because you sort of have to walk through it. It goes through the natural processes of the Earth and the solar system, and then you eventually get to life here on Earth. And he's sort of in this little area where that overlooks a animal exhibit outside, and also directly in front of him to the left, there's sort of a timeline of the Earth that sort of gives the geological history of the Earth. You know, going back 4 billion years up to now.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like the appropriate place.
No, it doesn't.
You know, I think what they should do, they should at least, you know, put it in a special area. All the Iditarod stuff should be in a special area. And they should have, a no photography thing. They're worried about lighting. No flash photography.
the thing is, it doesn't even look like they're worried about the lighting, and that's what I'm most bothered by, is the fact that they haven't really done anything to actually preserve his mouse. I mean, from what it sounds like, there's natural light on him, and there's these harsh fluorescent lights on him. That's no way to take care of a mouse, much less that's not how you would treat a piece of art.
Well, when I asked the receptionist, that she told me that, you know, he was in a low-light environment, but I went in there, and he's not. I mean, I came around the corner, and the combination of this natural light and the fluorescent lighting in the display case is very, very intense.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's no way you would treat a mound, much less a piece of art. You wouldn't see one of Picasso's paintings in such conditions. That's terrible, and you gotta think, a painting and a mount are essentially the same in the fact that they're both irreplaceable if they're originals. You can't fix something that used to be alive. I mean, you gotta think about,
like,
Togo's mount was mistreated. It's irreplaceable.
What happened to Togo's mount? I have no idea where
I can tell you what happened to it, because I lived right near where he used to be and where the damage was incurred. He used to be at the Shelburne Museum in Shelburne, Vermont. Apparently, as the story goes, people were allowed to touch him, you know, and, like, pet the mount, and unfortunately the oil from people's fingers would pull out the hair from the mount. You know, he's a dead dog, and you're not supposed to do this. Mm-mm. And that's why it's so scrawny looking. If you see pictures of him, you know, it looks like he's almost skeletal because his hair is falling apart, and according to Jersey, you know, they did a pretty bad job trying to repair the damage.
That's horrible.
You just can't fix things. So, like,
and actually, you know, it's kind of, it's like, people didn't, apparently, I guess, didn't know, or they didn't seem to care as much, I guess. Like, I was at the National Archives once, and they used to display the Declaration of Independence in direct sunlight. And now parts of it are faded away, and you can't bring any of that back. It's like the same situation here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, there's no going back. And at least the National Archives now, as far as the Declaration of Independence, they store it in such well-kept conditions, and they try to do any restore any damage that does happen when they can.
Thing that really angered me, other than the condition of the mount and the way it's being treated, is the fact that there are people just walking by, not even giving this dog a second look, and this dog is a hero. I mean, it's like going to Arlington National Cemetery and honoring the American soldiers in there. I mean, it's the same thing. They weren't honoring this hero. What this dog did was so amazing. I mean, I realized that he wasn't the only dog in the serum run, but what he did, you know, was so amazing for a creature to do that we take for granted every day.
They just represent, like, you, Balto, as someone, you know, represent all the dogs, not just what he did, but to get them to represent what every single dog did and human on that day did.
Yeah, and that's how it's even phrased on the statue. They just used him as a figurehead in order to represent all of the dogs.
Right. If you read the actual plaque, it says in memory of all the dogs in the serum.
And it just has Balto as the figurehead.
I have currently 62 signatures on my petition from people all over the world, not just here in the United States, but from England, the rest of Europe, Asia, Middle East.
That's quite a range, and I like that.
And where can we go to sign this petition?
You can go to the petition via a link in the Balto Source forums. There's also a link in my profile on the Balto Source.
Make it available on the SourceCast topic as well.
Yes.
We can get a few more signatures on that and hopefully get something done.
The thing that really thrills me is I was actually contacted by the mayor of Nome, Alaska herself.
Oh, wow.
I was able to get on their website, on Nome's website, and get her email. She sent me one a few days later saying, you know, how she, you know, is encouraging me to help support, you know, telling the story of Balto and to make sure that he is treated properly. She even shared my email with the, I believe it was the museum curator up in Nome.
Oh, wow. That's, wow.
Wow.
I don't know what else to say, man.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool.
You're famous. I like your eye.
No, I'm not famous.
Fox is the mayor of Nome, Alaska, you know? That's something.
Yeah. I mean, I also wrote to a couple newspapers in Alaska. The Nome Nugget, and also one in Anchorage. I tried getting hold of the governor of Alaska, but I wasn't able to get an email back from him.
But either way, I think the governor is pretty busy, so...
Yeah.
But, you know, still, I would think he'll eventually... I think he'd probably get to it, because I think the governor of Alaska at least should, you know, appreciate what you're trying to do here.
Yeah.
Actually, I think one, you know, what could happen from this, I think would be kind of interesting, is if they... is if Balto was moved to a museum in Nome, potentially. That, I mean, I don't know if, you know, perhaps if it seems that Cleveland doesn't seem to care as much as they used to, you know, if it was moved up to Nome where tons of people would care about it because, you know, dog sledding up in some more remote parts of Alaska is still, you know, the way of life, the one way people get around.
I know they want to get him back. I know they passed a law in the Alaska State Congress to get him back, but they're part of their history as well, so they're not going to give him back.
Yeah, because I think the reason, I think, it's what I remember from the story is that, you know, some years after the event happened, they found Balto and all the original sled dogs in some sideshow. And so the city, Cleveland, bought Balto and all the other dogs and brought them back, and they paraded them around the city once they got him there. And he's been there ever since. But it seems like they apparently just had them there and they kind of slowly forgot about it or stopped caring or something like that.
Well, even my father was quite surprised, you know, in my father's own words, he was almost added there as an afterthought, almost.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I've never been there, but from the way you're describing it, it seems like it's some, you know, exhibit that they put there because they felt like it, but they didn't put a lot of effort into it.
I thought that they needed to take up space, and that's where they decided to put it.
Yeah, I agree. The seasonal exhibit should be like a permanent exhibit. And it should just be, you know, at the very least they could advertise it, you know, during the Iditarod season.
Yeah. Okay.
So, Ara, anything else you want to say about your petition before we wrap this part of your interview up?
No, just please sign it. If we can get as many signatures as we can, we really can make a difference. I mean, I know there's a lot of people out there saying, well, it's not going to do anything. Well, it's better than nothing. You know,
at least
we can say we tried.
Yeah.
Yeah. Much like Steve and his Balto Special Edition DVD petition. But, okay. First of all, Ahura, you have 85 fanfics, the most on Balto's source. How long have you been writing all that?
I managed to find time whenever I can. I'm fairly busy during the week because of college. But whenever I have any free time, I usually like to sit down and write because I find it to be not only incredibly soothing as a stress reliever from all the exams and whatnot, but also a lot of fun. I like to write.
So when did you start?
Dang.
That's going to be my next question.
Probably back in 2005, usually around the first time I joined the Balto source.
Most of your fanfics are poems and short stories. Do you prefer poems and short stories over full-length stories?
I prefer writing short stories because I really don't have the time for a full-length novel. My time is trapped during the week, so short stories are fairly easy to crank out. Poems are, you know, fairly easy to write. I don't really rhyme. I find that if you rhyme too much in a poem, you know, you become more concentrated on rhyming than actually trying to get what you're trying to say across.
Yeah.
I see.
Been there, done that. Why do you prefer writing Balto fanfics other than some of the other source fanfics, like All Dogs Go to Heaven or even The Lion King?
Well, that's because I'm a bigger fan of Balto than either one of those movies.
Yeah, forward point.
Makes sense, I guess. And do you try to make your fanfics canon in the sense of the Balto movies, or do you have your own canon and storyline, or do you just write them just because?
Well, some of the ones that I have written have tried to make it canon, at least after the third movie, because I find that if you try to write in between, it's very hard to sort of get the feel of like what's going on, because the movie is fairly established, like what happens in between, so it's kind of hard to fill in the blanks. But if you write in a gray area, say either before the first Balto movie or after the last one, it's a much easier because you can have a bit more leeway in terms of how you want to write it and what sort of storyline you can create.
Yeah. What's your target audience for your fanfics?
I don't really have one. It's pretty much anybody who likes to read my fanfics, or people who just enjoy good writing can read them. I don't really have any specific age group or whatever that I'm targeting.
Okay. How long do you plan on writing? How long do you plan on writing?
Well, I hope to make a career out of it someday. You know, if I can make a little bit of money, you know, that'd be great.
I'd like that too, so.
This is actually something I had heard somebody else get asked recently. Do you ever actually role play out any ideas for your fanfics if you're not sure how they'll go? Like, I don't know if you use other people's characters or not, like, with their permission, or maybe they ask you to put one of their characters in one of your stories. Do you ever, if you do, do you ever try to role play out a scenario if it's just not coming to you very easily?
I do. Oftentimes I'll be in the middle of a story and something is not working right, or, you know, the plot seems a little screwy, so I'll try to place myself into the situation that the characters are in and sort of, well, if I was Balto, how would I react to a situation? Maybe Jenna gets lost in the woods or something, how would I, as Balto, feel?
Hmm. Well, where do you get your inspiration from?
All over the place. I'm a fairly avid reader, so I'm always got a book in my hand, and when I read a story, I look at what the author does and how it works and how I emotionally connect with the character. So I'll either try to do the same thing, or I'll try to come up with my own way of doing something in a story. I don't try to directly copy what other people have done, because I find that that's kind of redundant. And I would much rather do my own thing.
Yeah. Your fanfic gallery says that you are working on a collab story with Dragon Tamer. If you can, could you give us a little snippet, or even just tell us what that fanfic will be about? Or would you rather keep a surprise?
Unfortunately, I haven't really updated my that little section. That collab sort of fell apart to Dragon Tamer and I having ideological differences, and I'll leave it at that.
Ah, I see.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that, you know, we tried to make it work, but,
I'm back again.
It just sort of fell apart.
Okay, hi, Connie. Okay, let me think. At least one more question. I can't remember what it was for the life of me.
Well, I'm Skull Blacko, what's up?
Yeah, come on, Skull.
Have a night, you pop in there.
Well, Anaya, you have any questions?
What advice...
We want to get you something. I don't know.
What advice would you give to struggling writers on Animation Source?
I would say that when it comes to writing, don't try to force it. Don't feel like you're going to make the world's best fanfic on Balto, because chances are you're not. Just try to do what you want with it. Make it your own. Don't try to copy anybody. Don't try to do anything that hasn't been done before. You know, do something that you want to do.
make it your own. Because that way, it'll be a lot more fun for you to write. You can use your own characters, you can come up with your own plot lines, and then incorporating Balto characters into it will even make it even more enjoyable because you'll be making something that is your own.
That's good advice, I like that.
Yeah, sure is. I think that might have been my question.
Sorry.
No. I don't want to be the only one asking questions here, thanks.
I was sure that one of the questions that would be asked is, I'm a fairly infamous soul stealer on the Balto.
Yeah.
So how do you like stealing those souls?
I don't know, maybe I trade them on eBay.
Craigslist. Something like that. Anyway.
I think my soul's been sold about 30 times this week.
You want to give us a little preview of some stuff you've got coming up?
Sure. I am working on the Beyond the Veil Part 4. I don't know if any of you have read those, but essentially it's about Balto one day sort of wakes up to sort of find himself as a ghost, almost. And it's sort of like how he's dealing with it. And what ends up happening is Steel takes over Balto's body, and it's about how Balto is trying to get it back and how to get his life back. Yeah. And I got three parts right now, and the fourth part should be coming up fairly shortly, I hope.
Sounds interesting. I'll be sure to check it out.
Yeah, it does.
I guess that's all the questions I have. And I, you got any more?
I have a question about what her, that fanfic her was talking about.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah. If you said that Steel takes over Balto's body, is it does Balto also take over Steel's body, or does Steel have both bodies and Balto's body?
No. Steel is, as I wrote in, I think it was part 3 or part 2, Steel's original body dies. He ends up, falling over a cliff in a snowstorm or something like that, and he comes and takes over Balto's body as a ghost.
Okay.
It's his way of getting revenge for Balto killing him.
This is a horror in his soul again.
Yes, it is the horror in his soul.
Well, for lack of any other questions, do you have anything else that you want to add to this, Kahura?
Yeah, actually. Please visit Vermont. We need the tourist dollars, please.
We'll see what we can do. We'll raise a fund to put a Taco Bell in Vermont somewhere.
Yeah, because town is absolutely dead. I mean, the most in this town is maybe a few museums and a bunch of historical buildings, and that's it. There is no Taco Bell, no movie theater, no McDonald's, no Burger King.
Well, on that happy note, thank you very much for this interview, Hura. We were glad to have you on.
Yes, thank you for coming on here and talking with us and telling us about your petition and your fanfics and everything.
Okay. Thank you very much, Ara. And we move on to the mailbag. We are very excited. The mailbag actually got fed this time around.
Yes.
So, our old mailbag question. What do you think the Sourcecasters should dress up as for Halloween? And our very first response was by Mighty Balto 1925.
Mighty, we really love you.
Thanks for responding to our questions. Mighty Balto 1925 says, "I'm back, LOL. Let's see here. You know, I feel like being creative here. I'm going to divide you up into two seats. An IU in swords could be a washer and dirty clothes. I'll be nice and let an IU be the washer. Sorry, swords. Rusty and Skull could be a dryer, and Skull could be an iron. Well, I'd rather be an iron than a grill, personally."
You know, I'm almost tempted to dress up as a washer, and then when I show up at a party, somebody's going to be like, "Why are you a big box?" And I'll be like, "Shut up."
And then Wolf Bassist wrote in answers to different questions that we had asked earlier. answer to what are you dressing up as for Halloween? And Old Basis says, well, we don't get any trick-or-treaters in my area, but if we do, I would like to pass out the candy to them disguised as Steve Harris. All I need is a long brown wig to go with my Fender Precision bass and Iron Maiden The Wicker Man t-shirt. Was listening to Total Eclipse while writing this. Answer to what is your favorite Halloween costume? As far as favorites that I've worn are concerned, the nod there goes to my old Star Wars Imperial Stormtrooper costume. Skoblanka mentioned dressing up as Darth Vader reminded me that Stormtrooper disguise. I think I still have it, but I can't fit into the One Piece costume anymore. The mask, well, that's a different story. In fact, I remember being at a Halloween school band concert several years ago, and the performers were in a costume, and there was somebody disguised as Darth Vader. Not only that, the performers also did a costume parade through my audience. When Vader approached where me and my brother were seated, my brother said something along the lines of, found one of your stormtroopers here, which is a reference to me, since I had the mask that came with the costume on. That is a true story, and I'm lying, and if I'm lying, I'm dying. So, thanks, Lady Balso and Wolf Basis, for your responses. And we have one more mailbag, a bunch of questions.
Yeah, from New York Balto fan. And he says, I just wanted to let you know that I really enjoy the podcast. I drive from New York to North California and then back to New York every week. So as you can imagine, I'm always excited to find something good to listen to. I'd never been much for fan fiction. I never knew what it was until last week. But because of your recommendation, I read the Anaya trilogy yesterday and absolutely loved it. That being said, I had a question for everyone about it that might be a good discussion topic for the show, since hopefully a lot of people read it after your review. All of the loose ends from the story were tied up at the end except for one. What about Jenna being pregnant? She was going to tell Balto, but never did. Did she lose the puppies when she was being beaten in the house? Did she tell him later, or is she going to try and hide it from him? Rachamel is a great writer, so I'm sure he didn't leave it open by accident. What's your take on it? What do you think happens? Keep up the great work. Well... Those are a lot of loaded questions.
Well, Skull is the only one of us who read it, I think. Did anyone else read it?
I have not still finished it yet, so...
I don't even know what fanfic they're talking about here. You know?
It's Rachamel, the writer's The Anite. Well,
maybe you could provide some insight on that.
Well, what I think it's from the list of actual fanfiction that he has, it looks like he actually continues the story from the Anaya trilogy throughout his other fanfictions, because I think what he does is similar to what I will do when I finally actually get everything that I'm working on posted, is everything he writes is all in the same universe, so it's all kind of interconnected. So I'm sure even though like that part of the Anaya trilogy is done, the part with Balto and Jenna will probably has continued on throughout as this series overall has kind of progressed. I can't say that for a fact because I don't know. But that seems to be like what he might have been gearing towards. That's the best answer I have. I don't know. Skull, what do you think?
What I have to say about it is Rachamel is notorious for having a bunch of cliffhangers in his stories. And I can assure everybody that will be addressed in a future story, though I haven't had any assurances from the writer himself. Based on his pattern of writing stories with cliffhangers, this will be addressed and it will be resolved. Me personally, I think the puppies died. Oh great, I spoiled it. But that you asked the question and I'm going to answer. I think the puppies died and Balto and Jenna... I think Jenna might tell Balto because that's just the kind of person she is. But other than that, I think that it all... I think everything will be resolved. In fact, what do you guys think of making that the question?
What do you think will happen?
Oh,
yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
All right.
So our new question for the mailbag apparently will be, what do you think will happen in the future of Rachamel's... somebody else ask it.
What do you think will happen in the future in any of Rachamel's stories if he chooses to address that? And I'm, again, like a Skull, I'm pretty sure he will choose to address it again.
What do you think the outcome will be? Do you think the puppies will live? Do you think Jenna, if they die, will end up telling Balto? Or do you think she'll try to keep it a secret? Send those on over to the mailbag at sourcecast@gmail.com or post it in our forum topic.
You can even send us PMs. That would be me and Ayu Swords and Rusty, who is just not here right now.
Yeah. Give us mail to...
Blah, blah. We want feedback.
We do, as always.
They really do. They want feedback. They need feedback. SourceCast lives on feedback.
Yeah. No kidding.
And also, we have a late piece of mail to our mailbag. Kiko, who is not a member on Animation Source anymore, but had some information for a member of Animation Source, sent this in, and he said he had a commission from Timberwolves of Heaven, and when he finishes it, actually, I'll just go ahead and quote it. He says, "I had a commission from Timberwolves of Heaven, and when I finish it, I want to let her know, but I have no contact. She left the site, but her sister is still there. If anyone knows her sister, or if her sister is listening, send me her contact information at kikothefreako@gmail.com. So, yeah, if Timberwolves of Heaven's sister is listening, or if any of you know her or know how to get in contact with her, just send Kiko an email so that you can get in contact with her. And tune in next time, because I think I'm going to be able to get Mighty on to talk to us.
Yeah, wouldn't you like that? Mighty Balto, if you're out there, you're up next.
Okay, guys, well, that brings us to the end of episode 6 of SourceCast. As always, thanks for listening, and you can always find us on my podcast, our primary host, iTunes, YouTube, whenever we finish converting our sound files into video files. Or send us an email, mail@sourcecast@gmail.com, to get in touch with us.
Yeah.
So, I'm Anayu Kylestis, the werewolf.
And I'm Swords of the Wolves, the Frank Sinatra.
I'm Skoblaka Shergul, the Dragon Rider. Kane, you next.
All right, okay. I'm Kane, the boring one. Well, like, the one that doesn't dress up as anything and does nothing for Halloween. And just warned you about wildlife on November.
And I'm Aurora, the really weird dude.
The soul stealer.
Yeah, that's better.
Soul stealer. So, thank you very, very much for listening to this very special edition of SourceCast. We will see you later.
Goodbye.
This is SourceCast signing off.
Bye-bye.
While he taxes us to pieces and he robs us of our bread, King Richard's crown keeps slipping down around that pointed head. Ah, but while there is a merry man in Robin's wily pack, we'll find a way to make him pay and steal our money back. A minute before he knows we're there, old Rob will snatch his underwear. The breezy and uneasy king of England, the snivelling, grovelling, meedly-weedly, blabbering-jabbering, jibbering-jabbering, blundering-plotting, wheeling-dealing, Prince John, that phony king of England.